Welcome to the podcast after the podcast. This is Short Rest.
Welcome to Short Rest, everybody. Adam was almost killed by a Cards Against Humanoid OD card.
Oh my God.
Yeah, what a way to go.
Murph,
yeah.
was there a moment during that where you're like, this can't be how it happened?
I did, yeah. There was. There was. I mean, you hear the shift in my tone where it goes from like, oh, it's all very silly to like when the guy stabs you while you're down, that guy is just no nonsense all of a sudden.
Right?
And just is like pretty serious.
He puts the cards away.
Yeah. That guy just used a dagger to stab you.
Yeah, it would be like one of the worst X-Men, like killing you or something like that. Just like if Gambit had a worse brother who used cards. Whoa, has Gambit ever used Cards Against Humanity cards?
Whoa, that'd be so sick.
Wow.
He's in the new Deadpool movie. And I haven't seen that. So there's like a non-zero chance.
Wow, dude.
And he says, oh, mon frère, look at this card. It's funny.
Oh, that's right. It's Channing Tatum.
It's
right?
Channing Tatum. Okay.
Yeah.
He can make it work, I think. He's a charming fellow.
There's no way. That works, right?
I don't know.
Kick this off with
I
would hope this wouldn't be a controversial take.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't. I really don't know.
I don't care. Let's fucking move on. Okay. So we kicked off this episode by you guys fighting a mirror shade, which is a really fun monster.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I was just literally on D&D Beyond and I just searched mirror to see if there was any like fun mirror
monsters. I know
monsters.
That there is because I remember during Twilight Sanctorum, Maven looked in the mirror one time. And I had that prepared.
Whoa.
Wow.
Because they're pretty tough. I changed the stats
well,
a bit.
I was going to have you get sucked into a mirror world.
Oh, my
Whoa.
God.
Yeah. That would have been so bad for Maven. We would have brought the wrong one back.
Yeah.
Maybe your part's on the other side of your hair.
Oh, it's all right. I'll just move in here. I'm trying to get out of this place.
You were never left-handed before, maybe.
Quiet.
Although I might have had prepared a doppelganger and not. Yeah. I know that there is mirror stuff because I had looked for it.
So the mirror shade was really fun, but it was like too tough for our levels. If that was going to be like, if you were going to fight doppelgangers of yourselves, you were going to fight that, and then you were going to fight Pietro and Carly Quinn. If I put it in as is, like straight out of the box, it wouldn't have really worked because it was like, it has like 90 HP.
I know
like,
this one.
Yeah.
I put one in Strahd and you guys didn't encounter it.
Ah.
There was a
really
mirror
cool
room.
Yeah.
There's like a whole like room. There's a secret room in like Strahd's castle where he puts all his mirrors because he doesn't need them anymore. So I put a mirror monster in there.
Wait,
I think it's the same one.
What are all of its moves?
So it just has like some kind of something like a ghost, like Withering Touch. Like it has like a thing that's just like a creepily flavored, like it grabs you.
Yeah,
it's got
it
one of those.
Have something more like almost like navel gazing. Like
so it does.
It makes you vain and self-centered.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think it cast fear on you or something. Like
so it does. So it does have that.
Okay.
It has. It like reflects. It's the other ability is it reflects like your worst fear back to you.
Yeah.
And then it does psychic damage to you and frightens you.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah. And that's what
mirrors can actually do.
Yeah. And so it did it to Adam, which is where it made Adam think he was inceptioned.
Yeah.
But he saved, so he came out of it without taking any damage or anything like
but
that.
But yeah, maybe you're right, Emily, like a narcissist.
Yeah,
thing.
I can't help but picture Narcissus and be like, oh, that would be like a good sort of like, because like a lot of times you're playing almost exclusively with D&D, you're playing with a party, and if you suddenly became obsessed with yourself, you would be a bad party member, and that would be a liability.
Yeah,
like
some players already are.
Yeah, although from D&D.
That would be really fun, like you could only cast beneficial spells on yourself or something for the day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
Like
that's
very interesting. Like a selfish spell.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. And then it also had something where it could essentially hide in mirrors. And when you first see it, I think it's like a DC 18 investigation check or something like that. So it's like kind of hard to see. You guys rolled well though, so you were able to see it. And then it can hide as a bonus action inside of mirrors, but I literally rolled a nat one.
So funny.
So funny to picture like scampering away and just like bonking its head on the mirrors.
We described it as like just breathing really heavy. Yeah.
I love when something that's supposed to be good at hiding gets a nat
just
one.
Sucks. Yeah.
Because it's always like this like cool, sleek thing that then is just like...
I always picture it like, you know, hiding perfectly, like 90%, and then like its tail is
but you just see like the outline of a human in the mirror, and you're like, dude, I see you.
It's like
you forgot to take off your hat.
Yeah.
You're completely invisible, but
your
I see
bowler
a hat.
Hat is peeking over the hedge.
The equivalent of like Darth Vader bonking his shin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
fuck.
Just imagining Darth Vader like kicking over a glass of water is so funny.
Oh, like when he's going to pee in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Oh no. Damn it.
What?
Who left that there?
Used to go get some paper towels.
Where's the bounty?
It's everywhere.
Picturing a villain having access to paper towels.
Picturing a villain like gingerly pulling out the least amount of paper towels he can use.
And then them instantly getting soaked through and just being like, oh.
Right, yeah.
Oh, come on. How many squares do I have to use? It's not the quicker picker upper at all.
So then you guys kick the mirror shade's ass, which is funny, and that's just sort of the way the dice tumble, right? Sometimes. Because last episode you guys fought doppelgangers of yourselves,
and these
were both sort of supposed to be like medium fights, but you guys rolled, or at least Slug rolled, very bad initiative last time, which really screwed you.
We really got to see both sides of these fights with the mirrors. Did you have any other mirror puzzles or like mirror monsters that we could have encountered, or was
we got everything.
That's
you
good.
You did the whole freaking thing. Yeah,
I'm gonna shake maze. Out the mirror. Does anything else fall out?
There's gotta be something else in there, right?
Nope, blank pages.
Whoa.
Okay. What about like a monster made of silver?
Look, he spent all of his time doing the dildo cards against humanity.
It took me a long time to think of that.
I have a question. So we saw Carly Quinn and Pietro in action, but we've ended them. Can you talk about now, like, what do they do? What were their abilities?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did they have anything, like, lingering that we didn't get to see?
Yes, we didn't see a few things because things went bad like in like a round or two, like it was pretty quick. So they had like a chain attack that they could do. They had a charm where they could stop you and basically make your movement like zero, which did happen to Slug.
Liked though that it was like someone could do damage to you and that would shake you out of
yeah that was because you guys know I'm kind of against stun. I don't really like stun as a mechanic. It's not super fun for the players.
But if anything, it puts everyone in a strategic mind to be like, okay, we need to use one attack.
Yeah.
To get this person
it changes
back.
The economy a little bit.
It forces more teamwork. All right, we got to unstun Slug.
And it puts you in a little bit more of a role play space to just be like, I can't move. I'm just kind of like looking at them and drooling. It like gives you sort of a space to make jokes. They had something too that was like a withering like kiss thing where they like can take damage. They can like take life from you. But I think as I was looking at it during the battle, they had already taken a decent amount of damage. So I just had to do the things that would do the most damage possible.
Kissing them would have been funny.
Yeah, it would have been really funny.
I love that they were just like floating in the air and an embrace the entire time. It felt
on
very
on the edge. I have a rose too for the I know that we like talk about like your combat design, but I really liked the chains.
Oh, like the tightrope thing.
I could just really picture this. Like also like tightrope walking on chains felt very perfect for the world that we had just walked through, which is like circus meets like almost like techno goth or something
death metal circus
or something.
It's like the part of the circus. It's like the part of the circus where there's like the big metal globe that the motorcycle is driving.
It
was like a big
top
rave. Which is definitely a thing that has happened at some point.
I like the I like multiple levels of combat where like some people are down here, some people are up here, you're able to shove people to really change the battlefield, and it does extra damage because people are falling. You guys had some bad luck with Adam getting hit by the cards against humanoidity, and then also rolling high on them because you could have fallen 10 feet to 40 feet and he fell 40 feet.
I think I also have a thorn for leaving my blind sight on for my compound, my stimulated sense. Otherwise, I would have had my maddening fumes, which makes it so that everyone has disadvantage on people near me.
Oh, interesting.
So then I'm kind of like, oh, maybe I should have left that on.
One of these days, we're going to meet a dark room and blind sight's going to come into play.
And I'm going to have the other one.
Everybody, wait a second. So to switch it, do you have to like go out of a rage and back into a rage?
Yeah, the serums you can switch at will, but the compounds, whichever you choose when you go into a rage, like,
it's such a cool thing to tie them to rages. Because rage is like, you have to use a bonus action to go into a rage?
Yeah.
Interesting. I've never played a barbarian before.
And then if you don't attack anyone, then you have to use a bonus action to keep the rage going. If you don't attack anyone or take damage. If you take damage, that would also keep you in a rage.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Wow. There's a lot. lot. It is like, I don't know, you think of a barbarian as being so simple, but like there's a lot to juggle, I guess. Not that much, but like there's like, there are considerations you have to take to like maintain that rage.
I would imagine that it's simple and that if someone forgot, the DM is like, fine, whatever, you're still in a rage.
Yeah, you know,
like it's not like a game breaker.
I feel like I forget to use bonus actions all the time. Exactly. It's one of the many things to remember.
I think it's a little bit like champion, fighter, berserker, barbarian. Is like there is a version of it where you're just like the guy that hits stuff.
Yeah.
But there are more complicated versions of it that I think are very fun.
Well, yeah, that's why this one has been so fun. And also huge rose to Street Justice.
Oh, I love it.
You got to wrap them up. Because they could have been really annoying because they also had, they had like Eldritch Blast and stuff like that, and they had a fly speed.
Yeah, so that's why I was trying to negate their fly with the chain.
So there was a version of this where they're just flying around blasting you guys from far away, which would have happened. Yeah.
Which I knew that we had people with like firearms, but I was kind of like, why don't we just like, I'm assuming anytime someone has a fly speed that they maybe have less HP. Obviously not the case with dragons or whatever, but sometimes with combatants, they balance it by
Was the case with here. Certainly.
Yeah, exactly.
We got to do the fun reveal of the guy with the joystick. Just like a weird little guy.
Wow. Yeah, so the weird little guy is both of them.
Yeah,
that's so great. It was just an illusion.
That's so incredible.
It's like a guy in like I'm imagining like a floating chair, sort of like a floating gaming chair.
He's just wearing like all kinds of machinery stuff with electrodes all over him. He looks like a mocap actor.
I think it tickled me that like you did lean into the joystick thing. Because I think like when we originally said it, it was like just kind of like an almost like improvised or whatever. Mm-hmm, yeah. But then the idea that it is like manual tech mashed up with other tech, like which I kind of like.
I love in sci-fi, it happens a lot in like cyberpunk and like giant mecha where like people just have joysticks. I'm just like, that's just not how that would work.
Yeah.
It's the retro futurism of it. Well, you still want some of the old stuff.
Right. Like in the 90s, maybe we thought everyone would be piloting their cars with joysticks.
Right. Just imagining crashing so hard as I'm using like a Street Fighter joystick to try to navigate the road.
All right, I'm in my flying car and I have a little swivel stick.
Oh, fuck. I can't take this turn.
Hold on.
The joystick's freaking jammed.
Shit, I have peanut butter on my finger.
Let me just finish watching this ad for pet food and then I can drive my car.
Yeah, I just fly off Highway 1 into the Pacific Ocean.
I was talking to Sid about this, about like, you know, flying cars.
Flying into the Pacific Ocean?
Yeah.
about Murph flying into the Pacific Ocean.
All those driving. You know, I could do it.
That's how I want to go.
Yeah.
But I was like thinking about flying cars and like how we got so excited about flying cars in the future, but it's just like, it would be such a fucking mess.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you had to do episode 2 style.
Right, yeah. Air traffic.
I think I talked about this, which is just that like, I almost don't want flying cars because I know that they're going to be trying them out in California.
Just imagining a Waymo.
They're
going to
be fucking beta testing it on my fucking highway. And I'm just going to have a car that's learning how to fly.
It would be such a nightmare. As soon as you see some of these futuristic things, like the little robot that delivers food or the self-driving car, I'm like, oh my God, you look so corny.
I bet really, the robots that deliver food, I hate how much I want to protect them.
They make it look cute on purpose. They're like, this is Wally.
Design is so manipulative and absolutely works on me. I'm always like, you okay, little guy? You look lost. Can I help you? No one's being mean to you, are they? And I feel like they're always just like running into a wall or not like able to cross a crosswalk.
I feel like I have the opposite response where I'm like, I bet I could get a free lunch out of this thing.
Whoa.
Oh, you want a freaking bully.
You want a mug? A delivery robot?
It is a victimless crime.
You're right.
You got salad in there, you little shit.
Here's the thing is like, you are objectively right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, obviously.
Well, you're right about the corporation. Yeah. But theoretically, someone ordered that. The yeah. There's like a family trying to feed their kid. And
I'm saying that
Paul was like, I want to save $5 on McDonald's.
Your emotional reaction is possibly more rational than mine, which is why I'm like, God, am family, stop projecting emotions onto this stupid.
Yes,
well, the self-driving cars don't look cute. That's
no,
good.
Yeah.
You know what I think it is about the little lunch drones is that I feel like it awakens some sort of like neo hunter or gatherer mindset in me.
Okay,
where I'm just like, this is
we
a
are
resource.
Competing?
Yeah, we're like, I could hunt this down and I could claim it for my family.
I saw you on Sepulveda shooting one with a bow and arrow.
I just want to go full Horizon.
You took a bite out of it.
Yeah, dude.
Your mouth was filled with chips and wires.
You're supposed to separate the lunch from the pot.
They're good for armor if you loot them. I'm going to go full Horizon Zero Dawn on this thing.
You slit its throat and said, thank you for your lunch.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
Dude, to be fair, I leave the fats for the gods. I burn an altar of the awful.
It really does tickle me to picture you wearing a suit of armor of destroyed delivery bots. Like
fucking Aloy. I mean, hey, when I am worshipped as your chieftain.
Aloy is like looks like cooler.
Oh yeah,
yours, no. I'm picturing you're wearing like these cute little bots as armor.
It would just be me. I'm trying to think how I would divvy it up.
I think you could be like almost like ice skating on the little chassis.
Oh, that's cute. Ooh. Yeah.
But it is also manipulative. There's also
and it works.
The ones that are like super terrifying are the ones that like kind of look like dogs that like are almost look like they're gonna be there for security. They're like patrolling.
Oh, wow.
They don't look like dogs.
Person?
They're just no. They're just on all fours robots that like go around patrolling.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So they don't look like dogs, but they just walk around like patrolling canines or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I saw a video of one like doing kind of like a shrug motion as it scanned someone to give it kind of like a cutesy like
like a meet cute.
No, not a meet like, meet cute. More just like being like
I'm just doing my job.
Exactly. Like kind of awkward that we're both here. Huh?
Yeah.
Awkward. Just gotta like a do this. Yeah,
sorry, gotta fucking
scan
you.
Boss told me I gotta do facial recognition.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Then it just melts the person's face.
Yep.
It's just walking by someone.
Out for your arrest.
It's walking by someone, looks at them, does a little shrug, and then keeps walking.
Oh my god.
Fucking weird.
Do you guys think that the age after, because we're currently in the information age, do you think we're moving into a robotics age? Embodied information.
I think that they want us to, but I just don't think it's actually there yet.
Yeah.
I think that like most of these things.
What is it? Is it picking up a cup?
Mm-hmm.
Is that there's some movement that is so natural to us that is befuddling the robotics people.
I would
and I think it
that.
Might be picking up a cup.
I think it's also that and like walking without looking like you crapped your pants is another big one for them.
That was hard for me.
Yeah, I was going to say humans have a hard time with that.
But I think like, I mean, this is my cynical take on it is that like all of these things are being piloted remotely. Like anytime you see a robot doing anything competent, it's being piloted remotely.
That happened in like some kind of fucking robot parade recently where it just turned out it was just like, they're fucking piloting it.
And that's what you're going to learn about Adam. And he's also just a guy in a room.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
We're gonna open you just a horny little man.
Whoa. Kate Sith style. You just work at Mothership and you're secretly piloting
it. This is pretty
good. That actually is kind of sick.
You're a dude with a joystick, but the good kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there's actually another
dick.
There's another robot piloting the dude because the dude is in a coma and like there's a robot who is incepting him.
I actually like.
Yeah.
Layers and layers of consciousness.
It's like three robots down.
Cool.
So that's going to be, you're going to need to attack on like 5 extra episodes to cover all this. Is that okay?
Are you comfortable with sort of philosophically explaining all of this to the casual podcast listener?
And you cool with DMing another 3 months or so?
Yeah. So we're going to call it the Dick of Theseus, and that's going to be like Adam's sub arc.
Sure. Yeah. Sub arc.
Caldwell will be over at 6 a.m. to work on it with you tomorrow.
Okay.
I think we could carve out some time to do some like one-on-one.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, dude, I took a Waymo here. Let's get started.
Caldwell also demanded that I step back and Hans Zimmer do the soundtrack for this.
He also wants to start sleeping in Murph's bed.
Me and Hans. I'm here with Hans. He brought his trumpet.
If we move in.
He brought his most unsettling trumpet.
I guess if Hans Zimmer wanted to move in, would you let him?
He's got
an interesting surprise around.
Hans, but he's like, he's got to practice his weird trumpets.
I'd have to.
Yeah. I guess I would let him crash. I wouldn't like let him sleep in my bed. Muff.
I'd give him the main room. I'd give him the main bedroom.
Would you give them the primary?
I'd move to the guest.
Yeah. I don't know what Hans Zimmer sounds like. I picture German in my head. So he's going to say like, I'm working on the soundtrack for the Sardaukar in Dune Messiah. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of unsettling trumpets and bass drums. Can I work on that
here? I guess I'd like, I respect Hans Zimmer and I really him. I think I would say no.
I would definitely say yes. I would be like, walk me through your instrument.
Okay, that's fair. See,
how do you get another musician to sound so apocalyptic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if there was like a writer or somebody who like wanted to stay with me and I could ask them questions, that would be rad.
I would definitely be like, oh, Mr. Zimmer, could you just like take a look at my sound bank?
Yeah. Okay, so that makes sense.
I clogged your toilet, though.
I just want to bounce some synths off you, sir.
I think a celebrity just banging on your door and asking to crash, I think I would say no 99% of the time.
Just picturing walking in and he's like fiddling with a Korg in the corner.
Oh my God.
This is my Korg.
Sir, what sort of distorted amp do you put that Moog through?
What I do is I drown the trumpet. I take it to the ocean and I drown it.
I think almost universally I would say
tracks.
I would almost universally say yes to wrestlers.
Is a whale playing that trumpet?
Oh yeah.
Like if John Cena just knocked on my door and he's like, hey, I noticed your loyalty, respect flag outside.
This is an amazing question. Like, because there's the hall pass, obviously.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, like, who's your
sleeps in your bed while you sleep on the couch?
Who's your guest pass?
Who do you demote?
Who's the guest pass?
Who do you, like, self-demote every so wrestler. They can sleep in your bed?
That's a great question.
I'm not the biggest, like, Randy Orton fan or anything, but it would just be so funny if Randy Orton came to my house. He's like, hey, my car broke down. Can I sleep in your bed? I would say yes.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, I would say no. So that's fine. There's room for two in the bed. Yeah. But it would
be
kind of
like...
That's
what the guest pass. Because then you can't say no to that.
Because we go sleep in the other room. Yeah.
No. I sleep in the bed.
You sleep with Randy Orton. That's interesting. Yeah. I don't know that I'm
polite. I'm polite about it.
I think the thing is, like, they have to be an annoying guest too. Like, it can't just be someone where it's just like, oh, like,
right. Who's a celebrity that you like so much that even if they were an annoying house guest, you'd be like, we have to
put up with
this.
But I think any kind of house guest just showing up out of nowhere would be annoying.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And inconvenient.
It would be tough.
If someone was so famous that there was like a huge power imbalance where I'm like, I don't even know how to approach this. Like, let's say it's someone huge that I'm like, I have no feeling one way or the other. I like a lot of his movies. Like Ben Stiller is Ben, but I'm not like the hugest fucking Ben Stiller stan, but he's so famous that if Ben Stiller came to my house, he was like, hey buddy,
hey,
can I sleep in your bed?
I'm in town for a week.
Yeah. I guess I'd be like, I'm shooting out here. Yeah. Are you going to like make, is there going to like, is a magazine going to come to my house and say I'm a bad guy if I don't let you crash here?
If anything, I'd be even more like, no, you can't stay.
Wow,
you're bringing too much attention.
Yeah, that's fair.
To my private
domicile. I mean, Ben Stiller, I'd have to say yes because I want to grill him about like directing and stuff.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is he's going to be like, I have to live in like Severance world, so I am going to be painting all of your walls white. And I'm going to be
replacing
you. Well, this
is just a whole different thing called it just takes it. The whole social aspect is just gone. Now it's just a guy painting your house. It's not Ben Stiller anymore.
He has to paint it for the photo shoot.
As long as I could choose, if I could choose the white, I think I'd be down. I just wouldn't want it so stark, Ben.
Ben Stiller came to your house and kicked your ass. Do you want to hang out with him? No.
He shoved you down the stairs.
Conversation over.
Oh, I'm sorry. I took
tried
it too
to
far.
Shit on you, but could only fart. Would you say you couldn't do it?
Fine, he takes a dump in the corner. Are you happy now? That's believable.
I guess if it was like a really corporate wrestler, like if Triple H came to my house, I'd be like, no, dude. Mm. Like you
I think if you
I know your car didn't break down. I know you have a driver, man.
I feel like I would need to have a personal attachment to say yes. I think star power alone isn't doing it for me.
Yeah.
If anything, it's putting me on edge.
Yeah, I think if it was an athlete on the Tottenham Hotspur, that.
Yeah.
Because they're also all, you know, Mickey Van de Ven, center back. Yeah. He's 22. He probably doesn't know how to take care of himself.
Oh, true.
You have to take him.
You make him a hot meal.
What if they have a really good excuse, though? What if John Cena's just like, I gotta lay low, man?
actually, if there's...
John Cena's like, you have to hide me.
I'm more likely to
open the door for that.
I would hide anyone.
If he's just like, I got to crash, yeah. I'm like, why?
So you'll paint
but
the wall
for John
Cena.
But if he's like knocking on the door in a panic, hide me. I'll explain later.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Come in.
I will be like, come in, but then I will kind of demand an explanation because I need to know what side I'm defending.
Right.
What am I defending you against? Is this something innocent, like you hijacked a delivery bot?
Under your couch,
in which case,
just going,
I've got you.
I'll explain later. Don't ask me anything right now.
I killed a Waymo. They have souls, apparently. Did you know?
Their collective soul is after me. It's ephemeral. The only thing it can't cross is the closed door of a house that is loved.
They put ghosts in there.
They're not self-driving. They're not self-driving.
They're driven by ghosts. Our ancestors are driving the Waymos.
But yeah, I'd open my home to a lot of wrestlers. Yeah. The Hardy Boys come by. Jeff Hardy just shows up.
It's easier to answer which wrestlers I wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
There is something about like wrestlers though, mm-hmm. that I'm just like, I just feel strong. There's something about their like lifestyles.
Yeah.
That
they have to move around.
They
so
would
much.
Need mm-hmm. to eat so much of your food.
Here's exactly where my head is going is like, just this feeling of every single day I would go to take a shower and one of them would be in there taking a shit.
Certainly. Yeah.
And then I would be like, great, well, now I have to put off my shower by
just
an
hour. Just John Cena taking a shit in your house. Yeah.
Because I'm going to need to air it out after you because you all are like jacked up on God knows what.
They are just like a different species when it comes to that stuff, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because of like the intense diet.
Right.
Could your
plumbing handle it is the question.
New surprise round. All right. They're no longer staying at your house. A celebrity shows up to your door and they say, hey guys, I gotta go number two.
Okay.
I gotta go now.
Oh yeah.
I think I say yes. I think I would kind of say yes to like almost anyone.
I would be pretty sympathetic about that.
Yeah,
I think so too. If they're like driving through, it was
and
an
they
emergency.
Just knock on a random door.
I think anyone who's lived in New York City like knows like
that feeling of having
that
to take
feeling
a
of
shit.
Having to take a shit and mm-hmm. not having access to a bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. I have great pride in like knowing where a lot of public restrooms are in the city for that reason.
All right, I take it back. The better question is, who would you let sleep in your
no
bed
reason.
While you sleep on the couch? The answer, every wrestler.
Because shitting is also a great story. Like, there's just any celebrity, whether I like them or not, if they took a shit in my house, I'm like, that's great. That's great party time.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro
clogged
my toilet.
You can be like Chloe Sevigny.
Yeah.
Took a shit in there.
You know her? Stopped by, said she was driving through, and she just had to go.
Zendaya and Tom were here. Yeah. They used separate bathrooms, and they both clogged them.
So Zendaya, I think, went number one, and it was still clogged. I think she just wipes a lot. Tom, I heard it, took number two.
Tom, I think, didn't wipe at all.
Yeah.
He was practicing.
Tom took a shower after.
It reeked, but the toilet paper was untucked.
As they were leaving, as they were leaving, they said, every couple has a wiper and a shitter. Like it was some universal thing.
A wiper and a showerer.
Tom was soaking wet.
They were so cute together, I just believed them, you know?
I said, okay.
Get this, he said cheers when he left.
He gave me a case of his NA beer that he makes.
If someone was like super right wing, like if Rob Schneider needed to take a shit at my house, I'd be like, go fucking shit in a sewer, you asshole.
Yeah. Go shit in the cow's milk that you drink.
Yeah.
Right. You don't like handouts, dude.
Yeah.
God, that'd be a fun moment.
Yeah. That'd be a sick moment.
That would be cool to say to Rob Schneider, I don't have a bathroom.
I don't believe in them. That's great. Yeah.
But what about Rob Thomas?
Oh, dude, of course. Yeah. Rob Thomas is staying in the bed, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, his shits are
Rob
so smooth.
Rob Thomas is shitting in the bed.
Oh, that very good Caldwell.
That was great, man.
You fucking redeemed yourself, my guy.
I always do in the end.
Although, I can't say the same for Adam Duritz of Counting Crows.
Oh yeah.
He sings his songs strangely on purpose so people can't sing along at the concerts.
That's
and it
so
was very, it
sure
was a very unpleasant experience.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, are you sure that he wasn't just like maybe like on a drink or drug when
you saw him? No, he's doing it on purpose. He's done interviews. Okay. They're like his songs. Yeah.
I remember I saw Counting Crows and Goo Goo Dolls together at Jones Beach.
Whoa.
It was fucking awesome.
Yeah. They playing at the same time?
Yeah.
The exact. No, they played Iris and Mr. Jones at the same time.
It was crazy because I was like, who's going to open for who? These are two absolute.
Who did?
Goo Goo Dolls opened for Counting Crows. Which, you know, give it now the
chronology.
You know,
now, knowing what we know now and knowing that I think is what is the lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls name is it Johnny Rzeznik?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, Johnny Rzeznik.
Wait, that's the lead singer of Goo Goo Dolls?
I believe so.
Johnny Rzeznik.
I think that's right.
I believe it's Johnny Rzeznik.
It's, just a little too close to Trent Reznor, right?
Yeah, I think that's where my brain went when you said that.
There's literally no way to know.
No,
we can only call him Johnny Rzeznik. We're not doing it. We're just going to...
I remember actually
we're
watching...
We're not playing Who Did Things Come Out.
Yeah. I bet he does just passionate Iris, like it's right
well,
off
it was,
the
it's
album.
It's interesting because I remembered, it was almost like he was just a little older or something. He couldn't hit those high notes.
Oh,
so
wow.
he was singing it different and Adam Duritz was singing it normal then, but this was in 2000. This was in 2003, I think.
Whoa. A long time ago now. I have heard that concerts have gotten weirder. That really? Like
everyone's on their phones.
Yeah,
everyone's on their damn phones.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen like the videos from Coachella or whatever, where it's just like zombie eye, nobody cheering, nobody singing. Just
I think
like,
yeah,
phone.
There's that aspect, but I think just like everyone kind of forgot how to be humans a little bit during the pandemic, and
that's
like
fair.
People will just like interject a little too much, or like there's like you know, it's like the phones and the parasocial aspects of it all colliding. I think that the musicians have gotten weird about it too, where they are being like too bossy or they're trying to control the experience. I think just seems like there's a lot going on in the concert space, but I haven't been to a concert since like 2015, I think. So I don't actually know.
Yeah, I went to Gov Ball in 2012. Right. That was the last one.
I guess the last concert I went to was the Dimension 20 show at the Hollywood Bowl.
Whoa,
does that count?
Were we bossy?
No, I think that's not a concert.
Murph kept telling me to shut up.
Caldwell, stop.
Your laugh really fucking carries, dude.
He's just laughing and being supportive.
We know that wasn't sincere. Stop, dude.
I don't need a pity laugh.
Take his beer away.
People should put their phones away and do what I did and cross their arms and sing Mr. Jones the right way.
Yeah. I can sing it better than Turret.
The phone, I mean, I will give it that. It like for people that don't know what to do with their hands, it's great. Because I'm certainly a don't know what to do with my hands
guy. You hands in pocket and just nod your head.
Dude, or hold a beer and get a pretzel.
Or passionately freaking sing.
Or pat your wife's butt lovingly.
Damn, okay.
Or hell, the stranger in front of you.
Jake.
Sorry.
I guess if I say, hey,
that's
listen.
That's what got my ass kicked at the Goo Goo Dolls concert.
Broadway was dark that night.
Yes. Jake's black eye made her cry.
I do say like, hey, my wife's not here. Can I put my hand in your pants? In your back pocket. Come on.
Back pocket. Like crass. A classic jeans ad.
Classic jeans.
Yeah. I've never seen the Goo Goo Dolls live.
Mm.
Yeah.
I could see that being a fun one.
It was a good one. It was real fun.
Hearing Slide.
Slide is my shit.
Yeah, come on now.
Good. Why don't you slide?
Some great karaoke songs, Slide and Iris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The video for that is so, for Iris is so funny. It's just Johnny Rzeznik on the top of like a steampunk tower.
That's awesome.
Looking through telescopes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a specific period in music videos when like, I guess just green screen technology became very affordable.
Yeah.
And there's just like a lot of singers, like they're on top of towers all the time.
Yeah, it's a little bit same thing with Smashing Pumpkins and Tonight. Tonight is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it's based off of like a really old movie, right? It's like
Journey to the Moon.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
what was it? What movie was Iris like the song for?
Meg Ryan.
Yeah, Meg Ryan
and Nicolas Cage, I want to say, and he's like an angel or something.
Yes.
And then
exactly.
And I think in the music video, I actually didn't even see the movie. I just remember from the music video, isn't she like riding a bike on the bike basket and like putting her hands back?
Yeah, wait. I remember walking on the beach too.
Wait, isn't
and
there
is Johnny Rzeznik watching this?
I think he's watching them.
And
he's
watching clips
snips.
Of the movie.
Yeah, he's watching snippets of
we
the
had,
movie.
Right, because this is what they did. Yeah.
Yeah,
the fucking world was perfect.
This is the same thing they do.
We peaked during the iris.
We fell from the tower that Johnny Resnick was spying on a movie.
It was the Tower of Babel, unfortunately. We need the iris video, but it cutting to the Mad Pod nightmare. Johnny Resnick watching the Great Kazoo.
Watching the Flintstones. My exact thought was the Great Kazoo as well.
Oh my God. Was like most music videos in like the mid-2000s, because I remember like the one... So weird. Like the music video for Busted Stuff from Dave Matthews was like, it was paired with Mr. Deeds.
Yeah.
The music video movie combination was so fucking iconic.
Oh my God. If we could invent a time machine, I'm going back to that day that Iris came out. Like that's where I want to be.
When did things come out? Iris.
Okay.
I'm going to guess.
It's got to be 90s.
I was going to say 99, I think.
I'll say 90. Ooh, what the hell would it be? 90, it's 97, 98. I'll say 98. Why not?
Okay.
I'm going to say 99.
I said 99.
Okay.
You already said it, dude.
You want to double up, though?
I'll say 99 and a half.
Whoa. Okay.
You want to go
a month? That's a fun. I like that new rule.
If you want to do 99, you should do month.
Okay.
And if your month is right, you win. And if it's any other time in 99, I win.
Wow. Okay. It's called Shot kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'll do that. I think it's all right. That's got to be a summer single, right? So I'm going to say May. That's May 99.
Oh, okay. So May 99. What'd you say?
I said 98. And he said,
I have the rest of 99
year.
That's not
he's the whole year locked up.
It's April Fool's Day is when it came out.
Oh, of course.
1998.
Oh, wow.
Murph went ahead in 1998, this one.
Yeah. Damn. Damn.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
And it was City.
I don't want the world to see me.
City of Angels was the movie, and it is Nicolas Cage and Meg Ryan.
And one of them
does. And is Johnny, his name Johnny Resnick, and is he looking at them through telescopes?
Yeah.
It's just so fun watching them shoehorn that stuff in.
It's awesome. So we do know when the world peaked. It was April 1998.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was when things were there.
That was when things were fucking perfect.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think we were coasting at that point because this was after the Dinosaurs finale. So
Yeah, true.
And that song came out and it was so good. Mm-hmm. And it was so good. And people were like, is this some kind of sick joke that you're going to have to open for the Counting Crows when you're better than them?
What are you doing, Resnick?
Yeah, Resnick.
And maybe that's where like the collective rage and anger we all have now. Like maybe that's where it all started.
I think that was the angriest I ever. You know, because it's the anger. It's not just the anger. It's the confusion. It's the confusion and the helplessness.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Because you want to be able to have some type. You want to be able to do something.
Yes, and you can't.
You're like, why is this happening?
You're seeing
an injustice.
Yeah,
and I'm helpless to control it.
Yes, yeah.
See, I kind of thought it was like a baton passing thing, like a torch passing thing, because like the Counting Crows was an older band, right?
I guess they were a little older.
Yeah. So this is the Goo Goo Dolls being like, you know, like we're coming to you, like you have lit the way for us, so we will open for you. That sort of thing.
I think Counting Crows were just more.
Right.
Like, August and Everything After is a great album.
Yeah.
And they were very popular.
I think Counting Crows had more hits.
And also in the 2000s, that would have been when Shrek soundtrack came out.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got Shrek. Yeah,
Smash
Mouth.
That was the thing. Yeah. I think Goo Goo Dolls, they were resting on their laurels and they had some great hits, but Counting Crows had great hits and their current stuff was still hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you were talking about City of Angels, I thought you were talking about the movie Michael, which is...
It's Michael.
It's John Travolta, Andy McDowell.
Oh, William is this Hurt. Where he gets super genius? Oh, no.
That's Phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
Yes, which is also a fun John Travolta film.
What is Michael?
Michael is he plays the Archangel Michael. It's directed by Nora Ephron. I don't know if it's good, though. I remember seeing it. He just comes to Earth and I think falls in love with a human woman, or maybe he's helping someone out.
What was going on in the 90s that we had so much angel content?
Fucking nuts.
City of Angels, Michael, and then you guys referenced like a TGIF.
Angels in the Outfield?
Yeah. Well, Angels in the Outfield, but then you guys referenced
Angels.
There's the song Teen What If God Was TGIF. One of Us.
Whoa.
Yeah. Are there a lot of angels in pop culture now? Yeah, we were. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. That was us grappling with the fact that we were moving away from
trying to take
the
sexy 90s. We were doing a Christianity rebrand.
That was also
angels are hot and you can date them.
That was around when Meet Joe Black came out too.
Whoa.
Oh, but I thought he's supposed to be Death.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and he gets hit by that car at the end. So funny.
Yeah, oh yeah, we watched that. I haven't seen the movie,
all the time.
But he gets hit by the car.
There was, because I guess like Little Nicky came out as well. So we were grappling. I think as a nation, we're grappling.
Yeah,
it was angels, devils, God, and death.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And Johnny Rzeznik watching it all.
Yeah. And then, tower.
Is Angels in America actually about angels, or is that a metaphor for something?
That's for sure not. Else. I think it's pretty serious.
Yeah, okay. It's really serious.
Yeah. Caldwell, if you could take it down,
you could cut that. I didn't know what that was, right?
Yeah. I would say this does not fall under like playful 90s nostalgia.
Yeah. What powers do the angels have in that? What the fuck else happened in this episode?
Oh, shit, yeah.
I will say, it was like choosing Adam as the character to do like a Inception for was terrifying. Because I feel like it's just like, oh, yeah, you are, of all of these characters, you're the easiest one to just like open up your brain and fuck around with
stuff. Someone could just like turn a switch.
Yeah.
The Inception was so, it was so convincing. Mm-hmm. Even like as we knew it was happening.
That you were crashing on Eddie's couch and you were the one who was wasting away.
Yeah, it's really fucking crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it kind of like colored the rest of the episode for me, where I was just like, it kind of made me double down on how important Ox and Slugs are to Adam.
Yeah.
And then to like almost lose them at the end to a Cards Against Humanity card. Was I've been in this position as a DM, not as much obviously, but like the moment when like a character is down and you've got a goon standing right next to them who's got a full turn, it's just like, I have no choice.
Yeah, I think 9 times out of 10, I'm like, I'll have them deal with the threats that are still up. But that was specifically, this specific acrobat was literally down in the pit with you.
Yeah.
Because you threw him, right?
Yeah, I think you specifically had knocked them down. Yeah.
I think it's fair that like goons wouldn't be thinking about death saves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so like, I do think it's fair when a DM is like, I'm not going to have this goon just like make like super strategic things. But also it does make sense too to be like, well, I'm not going to climb a wall.
Yeah, right?
And like,
yeah.
Maybe if Ox or Slugs were the guy that had thrown him in or something, he might have been like, I'm going to go get revenge or whatever.
I thought it was unfair.
That makes sense.
It was a little unfair when the goon says, I know you have 3 death saves. I'm going to take out 2 right now.
Yeah.
Seemed a little metagamey.
Yeah. Said, I know how much max HP you have. And since I can't take that all out, I'm going to just do 2 death saves.
Sorry, Caldwell. I mean, Adam.
Adam, what was the voice I was doing?
Thank God for luck rolls, though.
Yeah.
Give me a death save. You've used this D12.
What? What did I do, man?
That would be such an awful
mechanic. Oh
my God,
rolling with a D12? Yeah. We're going to get a fucking D&D card.
No.
Makes me roll death saves with a D12.
Yeah. You actually use a D10 for death saves in Dark Souls Halloween Town.
You have to
get a fucking D10.
Are you going to do a Dark Souls Halloween Town one shot for us or Halloween?
For Halloween, maybe.
Yeah.
Everybody come. What characters are you coming
with? It'd
be
cool to do it for Christmas, too.
Well, because Nightmare
Christmas makes sense in Dark Souls Halloween.
Yeah,
you go to Santa's workshop. Everyone is fucking dead. There's precedent for this because of the movie.
Yeah.
What characters would you guys bring to the table for Dark Souls Halloween Town? Do you think you want us to play like fucked up versions of the Halloween Town residents?
You gotta be so fucked up.
All right. Mm. I'm playing Lock, Stock, and Barrel's fucked up cousins.
Whoa, shit.
Yeah, they're tall.
Yeah.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
They're tall and they love drugs.
That's sick, dude.
I think I'm going to play a door-to-door salesman skeleton.
Whoa!
Oh, that's cute. Binky Fiasco adjacent.
This could be the time to bring it. Actually, I feel like I saw a comment after we were talking about Dark Souls Halloween Town where we need to play like all of our most deplorable characters that have come up over the eras. So like I would have to play Cutter Shinobi, I think.
Oh, Cutter Shinobi, Binky Fiasco, and then who's Jake play?
Who's my most... I'm Mavid, probably.
Oh, like, wow. It's just straight up a guy from another campaign.
It's like, I actually played my worst guy. Yeah.
Mavid with Binky Fiasco and Cutter Shinobi.
Dad, Mavid walked through a door with a Christmas tree on. I don't know where he went.
See you guys later.
I told him not to. I told him to wear a string.
Did Binky Fiasco have a voice? I just know he's a skeleton with a mustache who
takes milk baths. I refuse to commit.
Wow.
Can we try out a couple, though?
No.
All right.
I refuse to commit.
Okay.
It's giving manjas.
Here's the thing. Is I want everyone to picture and feel Binky how is right to them. And second that I drag it down with a specific, Binky can't be everything anymore. Binky is something. And right now, Binky is everything.
Can I like test out a couple Binkies for you? For like the Binky that I see in my heart.
Yeah, because if you do it, then the audience can still say, well, this isn't canon Binky.
Okay.
So my Binky is still canon.
Right. Gotcha.
So like the listener who has like a really specific idea mm-hmm. of who Binky is to them,
yeah.
it will not be sullied by you trying
this
it
is
out.
Binky Bombasto, my okay. original character. Yeah. Okay. Hello, guys. It's me, Binky. Kind of a Bluster Kong,
yeah, Bluster
honestly.
Bluster uh-huh. mixed with Snagglepuss.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Yeah.
How did that feel for you?
Did I get the part?
I'm going to be voicing
Binky. Emily hated that.
Caldwell's the new voice of Emily's character.
I honestly, people love it.
And Hans Zimmer does the soundtrack.
Don't worry, everyone. The girl doesn't talk anymore.
Whoa, the reviews are through the roof.
Every time Emily talks, there's a very loud trumpet.
That'd be kind of cool, though. Yeah.
Oh, maybe Binky Fiasco could have a parrot that is voiced by Florida Pensacola. So you just have to do the voice every once in a while.
Florida Pensacola.
Oh my God. No, I can't do it like I did that one day. That one day was just magic. That something like day. I must have just been really relaxed or something. Mm-hmm. And I like discovered a new like level to my throat.
Wow. I like to think Johnny Rozesnik was looking down on you that day.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think I would play Johnny Rozesnik in the.
Oh my God.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
And you, so you have Johnny an acoustic Rozesnik. Song and yeah. you're always looking out. You have an acoustic guitar with you and you're always looking out the window.
A telescope.
Pensively.
And maybe yeah. I will play Nicolas Cage in City of Angels.
That's pretty
That's
good.
Great.
Wow. I'm actually
and you can do to... Meg Ryan on a bike.
This is becoming a very Irish music video.
So we're all getting
Flying
isekai.
Ryan. Mm-hmm.
It became an isekai real quick.
That's awesome. You guys want to do Roses and Thorns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rose for you guys kicking the mirror shade's ass. That was really funny. Mm-hmm. And then
Rose for the just like the sort of spider web of chains.
Yeah. Rose for the death save.
Yeah, scary.
Seriously.
Stakes were high. That was a good time.
If I had to do any more death saves, I probably would have had to use my last luck point. There's just no other way.
A rose for the luck feat.
Yeah, honestly, huge rose for that. They've added in the luck feat a lot more now. I feel like it comes with a lot of backgrounds because I got it as like the merchant class.
Yeah, you had it as Boggy as well.
Yeah. So I feel like it's like a little easier to get, but I feel like it hasn't affected the balance too much.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's less OP now, right?
Yeah.
It's less OP because you have to call your shot ahead of time. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as a fellow player, I'm happy for every other person to have the luck feat.
Yeah.
It's just
I
like when people roll advantage in my party.
Yeah. I guess, so Caldwell's more the lucky guy now these days, because there was a time where Jake said he was going to take lucky for every one of his characters.
Yeah,
that was
before
I really understood. And we dunked on him pretty hard. And Caldwell's taken in two characters in a row.
That is true.
Wow.
Something to think
about.
It
was more OP when I said that.
That's true. Yeah.
I was like, this is great.
Oh, you wanted to take lucky for Hank, I think. And we were like, what?
Yeah. It's literally
counterintuitive.
It is true. I feel like I got to square it off for the next character.
But also, like, Boggy kind of makes sense because Boggy is like this folk hero. Mm-hmm. And then Adam's like this wacky guy. But Hank having lucky.
Hank was named Ill Luck Henry.
Yeah. Being like, no, he's actually super lucky.
I do. I like the idea of an unlucky feat where, like, you can choose to roll with disadvantage on stuff and then, like, maybe.
And it gives you a bonus or something?
Yeah. It gives you, like, a bonus to an ability score or something
that. Oh, you get a plus 10, but you roll with disadvantage.
Oh, kind of like, what is it, Great Weapon Master? But I guess, like, bad. I think that's.
Right, minus 5 to add 10 to the damage.
Yeah.
Great Weapon Master doesn't do that anymore.
Oh, really?
The slug has it, but they don't give you the plus 10.
Right now, it's just that you get to re-roll the damage dice.
It's just that you get, actually, I'm sitting in front of my character sheet. It's just that you get plus 3 damage to heavy weapon attacks on my turn, and then Hugh, when you crit with a melee weapon or reduce a character to 0. Oh, I have to remember that. 1 bonus action attack with the same weapon.
That's pretty nice, though.
Yeah. That's part of how Slug has so many attacks.
Yeah. I mean, you're constantly critting. You're constantly taking people to 0.
Actually, the crits have been shy since I called it out. I'm trying to. I feel like I need to go into couples therapy with my dice and be like, I'm sorry for shaming
your
success.
I thought you had some good crits last episode, or maybe it was 2 episodes ago.
Yeah, it could have been. No, I have had some good. It was egregious in the beginning. And I say that now with love, trying to coax it back because I would like to go back to egregiously critting.
What do you think the healing process is with your dice? Do you need to commune with them in the moonlight? Do you need to take a bath? A milk bath?
Yeah, I think I need to take a bath with my dice.
That's cool. Pickle your dice and pickle yourself.
Yeah, I need a briny bath with my dice.
Ooh, nice. Maybe put some bath salts in there.
I should put them in the moon. I haven't, for these, I chose colors that like I felt like were good for slug, and I have never put them in the full moon.
Solstice is coming up, June 20th. What's that?
Longest summer solstice? Day of the year.
Longest day of the year. Moon. That's okay. There you go.
I don't know what the moon cycle is going to be for that, though.
Who knows?
Put them out in the sun, maybe?
There's no way to find out.
Whoa.
I wouldn't put them out in the sun because the sun has heat, and I worry about heat actually affecting the plastic. I'm not trying to actually change the constitution of the dice. I just want hippie moon energy.
But what if you melted it so it only landed on 20?
That's why I don't want to put it in the sun.
So funny. Just show up with the dice that's just melted. Right. Just a goo square.
That's what I do. I put them all on ones and melt the ones in the sun.
Yeah.
And then I literally can't roll a one. Yeah, and you just not on the dice anymore.
Did you guys ever have glow in the dark stuff that you would like leave out in the sun?
Yeah.
Just so that it would like get supercharged?
Yeah.
You know what? For sure. I definitely had glow in the dark stuff. I don't know that I had the hot tip that you put out in the sun.
I definitely didn't either.
I think it'll charge with like a normal light. Sydney has some like glow in the dark stuff and it charges okay. But like, I think like nothing can contend with the UV rays.
Yeah. The sun really does supercharge it.
Well, that's just with the access to information now. I mean, that's just one thing. Like, I didn't know this with my glow worm that I could have been putting them out in the freaking sun. I didn't know this. And we had no way of knowing.
This is a PSA.
So as much as we loved Iris back in the day,
our glow worms were dull. Our music videos shone bright, but our glow worms were dull.
And with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of Gangs of Neogaladeron. In the meantime, Calder, why don't you take us out?
Oh, gladly. Everybody get ready to roll those iris dice. You gotta.
Rolling with the iris dice, world to see me. Cause I don't think that they'd understand.
Whoa, is that John Travolta?
Everything's made to be broken. I just want you to know who I am.